Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight you have heard two different accounts of the one Christmas story. Both are true, but they each have a different aim and focus. The first, that you heard at the beginning, is the oldest and the simplest and perhaps the most profound. The second is the more beautiful and romantic. It is the stuff of Christmas cards and carols. St. Matthew deals directly and immediately with the scandal of Mary's pregnancy. St. Luke only just mentions that Joseph is betrothed to her and that she is with child. After the very matter-of-fact information that St. Matthew gives us about Mary's pregnancy and Joseph's struggle to marry her, he moves quickly from the birth and the naming of Jesus to the arrival of the wise men from the east and Herod's plot to kill Jesus by killing all the babies recently born in Bethlehem. And then to how Mary and Joseph steal away to Egypt in the night to avoid Herod's murderous plans, and how the wise men too return home by a different route to avoid going back to Herod. The infant Jesus escapes the king's wrath, but not forever. And in the meantime, other infants die in his place, a continuation of the Old Testament saints who were martyred in anticipation of Christ's martyrdom. St. Matthew makes it absolutely clear that Jesus in his infancy was already destined for the tomb. His suffering because of mankind's sin didn't begin with the cross. It began with his virgin birth. In great contrast to St. Matthew, St. Luke spends an almost excessive amount of time telling us about the census, and how and why Mary and Joseph came to be in Bethlehem, and how through the angels and the shepherds, the world would learn of the birth of the rightful King of the Jews. St. Luke doesn't even mention the wise men, or Herod's plot to kill Jesus, or the slaughter of the holy innocents, or the flight into Egypt. The angels only announce good news. The lowly shepherds find the baby Jesus just as they were told. They go away to their flocks rejoicing, and everything is quiet and calm. Peace on earth. The same story, told by two different men, both inspired by the Holy Spirit. Two different camera angles, if you will, of the very same thing. One excellent theologian has said, St. Matthew's Christmas story seems a little closer to the heart of Christianity as it is on earth, while St. Luke's story is closer to how Christmas is celebrated in heaven. And I think he's exactly right. Who doesn't want to hear and live the story as it is celebrated in heaven? In the light of the glory of God with all of his angels around the throne. But the problem is, we haven't seen the glory of the Lord showing round about us. We haven't seen or heard an angel, much less a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." We don't know what finding the Christ child wrapped in swaddling cloths, just as the angel said, or looking upon him with our own eyes is really like. It's more difficult for us to insert ourselves into St. Luke's story than it is for us to insert ourselves into St. Matthew's. For we know exactly what it's like for things to be all messed up, for the situation to seem completely hopeless and totally out of our control, and for things to go from bad to even worse. But whether you hear St. Matthew's account or St. Luke's longer account of the Christmas story, soon enough it becomes clear in both that the way of Jesus is the way of the cross. Escaping the usurper king's rage can't last forever. The swaddling clothes of the manger must become the tangled mess of grave clothes in which our Lord is hastily covered and buried. The angel said it. Jesus is born to save his people from their sins. And to save his people from their sins, to save you from your sins, he must travel the road from the manger to the cross and die. He did not come to save the trees or the spotted owls. He was not born to rid the world of hunger or stop the ravages of war. He came to save you from eternal death. He came to be for every man what no man has been or can be for himself. Jesus becomes what you are, a woman's child, that he might make you be what he is, a child of the Heavenly Father. He does not become less by becoming man, but we become infinitely more in him. So we live with this tension between St. Matthew's more earthly account of Christmas and St. Luke's more heavenly account. For on that night, that holy night of Jesus' birth, heaven and earth came together. Jesus came into our world, and heaven followed after him. Where Jesus is, there is life and salvation. Still, as we live in this sin-filled world, there are many tyrants, many Herods who still hate Christ and his followers, who still seek after him, not to worship him, but in order to destroy him. Tonight, there are many people around the world who wish that they could celebrate as the angels do in heaven, or as we do in this free country. Instead, they celebrate Christmas in secret, while living in fear for their lives, fear that some Saul will come and drag them off to the arena, or to the lion's den, or the firing squad, knowing that if their belief in Christ is discovered, their entire family will be in danger. Yes, we can relate much more easily to the story of Christmas that St. Matthew tells. But as God worked through the pagan emperor's edict and the governor's census to bring Mary and Joseph and Jesus to Bethlehem so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, and as God led the wise men by his prophetic word, and by the star that he had set in motion at the beginning of creation, so too he is in control today. And his plans will prosper, even under rulers who hate him and nations that persecute him. He is Lord and King, and he has come to save his people from their sins. He has come to save you from your sins. His way is the way of the cross and death, and so it must be for his followers too. But because of his cross, death no longer has the final word. Life eternal follows for those who believe and trust in him for their salvation. On this night, many years ago, the very fabric of history was torn apart as God became man and came into his creation. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and even the middle of all things. In him, all things hold together. In him, heaven and earth are one. In him, God and man are one. Be not afraid, little flock, of the struggles and the crosses that come in this life. For I bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, God in the flesh, who fills you with life divine. Your sins are forgiven in him. Be at peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.